wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. He says there's a lot we can do in terms of cutting. I got one really serious idea how to cut. The candidate. Anyway.
Nobody's entirely sure what he meant, but since there was a baby crying in the background, maybe it was a bris. Got one idea how to cut that a baby squealed a little. I don't know, sucking up the Jewish community again? But no, he's talking about cutting Donald Trump, I think, is what he was actually doing. Joe Biden got some ideas about cutting. This is why they're going to keep him off the campaign trail. I want to play that again because that was our bump-in soundbite, as they say. That's radio talk. Stick with me. And Joe Biden, is he threatening to cut? The president of the United States, former president of the United States, president of the United States now threatening to cut the future president of the United States and the former president of the United States. That's pretty crazy stuff. But Joe Biden, I think he's channeling corn pop here. He's got corn pop coursing through his veins. Corn pop's got that rusty razor dragging it along the curb, which he thinks might sharpen up the razor. That will not sharpen up the razor, but Joe Biden, you saw that the White House, they're saying they're not going to let him out very much. They aren't going to put him out on the campaign trail because he always ruins everything they do. Even if he's reading from a teleprompter, he just veers off the rails and you can't control him. So they, completely crazy. But here's Joe Biden yesterday. Was he threatening to slash Donald Trump with a knife or a razor, a sharp implement like Corn Pop might?
He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare.
That's a lie.
He
That's
says
not
there's
true.
A lot we can do in terms of cutting.
That's not
I got
true.
One really serious idea.
That's a lie.
A candidate. Anyway.
The candidate. Anyway. He needs to be yanked off the stage with a large hook. He needs, like in vaudeville, to be given the hook. A long cane with a loop on the end should come out. Go around his neck and pull him off the stage for the good of humankind. He is not up to the job of being president of the United States. He has no idea what he's doing. And the White House and the Biden campaign, they know it too. They know it too. In fact, we have one of these schmucks from the Biden campaign who was on the television yesterday. And where's that? So we have such an exhaustive and lengthy soundbite list that have to go searching for it in our many, many pages of audio actualities to share with you today. The Quentin Fulks. I didn't make that up. Quentin Fulks, F-U-L-K-S, is the spokesmodel. And they announced yesterday that they just can't have him out on the campaign trail because he can't read the teleprompter properly. They write these, they think, perfectly good speeches for him, and he mangles them, and he veers off, and he wanders away from the podium, and the microphone's not around anymore, and his arms are dangling off of his shoulders like they don't work. And then he rambles about cutting Donald Trump with a knife or a razor or something like that while lying that he wants to cut Social Security. Republicans want to save Social Security. You guys are bankrupting everything. And if you point it out, then they you want to cut Social Security. I got an idea. Stop shooting people. How about that? How many people did Democrats shoot last year in the United States? About 35,000, I think, is probably a pretty good estimate. That's amazing stuff. But never mind that. So here's Quentin Fulks yesterday. And he was on MSDNC or CNN, one of those Circle Fest operations. And Quentin Fulks yesterday explaining they can't let Biden out of the house. They can't let him off the leash because they've announced. They said they're going to reduce the number of public appearances he has, that is to say campaign events. When he has to appear in public, they're going to abbreviate his speeches and not allow him to take questions because they know that he has been mentally incapacitated. That's a polite way of saying what, you know, back in grammar school you might say about somebody, but mentally incapacitated is new and polite. Quentin Fulks of the Biden campaign.
Our campaign believes in quality over quantity.
Right.
We believe that these touches, these smaller things that are getting directly to the point about what is going on in the stakes of this election are going to be easier for voters to tap into.
Yeah, they're going to be easier for folks to tap into. Folks is a very folksy word used by political hacks quite commonly. And, you know, it's a quality over quantity. He delivers neither, and they know that. But they figure since he does not deliver quality, let's reduce the quantity. And they say, well, you know, it's going to be quality over quantity. That means you're not going to see much of him, right? And that's okay with the news media. They sit there and smile because they know that they're part of the big lie. And quality over quantity? Are you kidding me? No, they're not kidding. They're lying. See, there's a difference between kidding and lying. Biden campaign touts keeping president's speeches shorter. Quote, quality over quantity. Right. That means they're taking him off the campaign trail. And the reason they're doing that is because they know that he has the brain of a turnip. And turnips don't have brains. Just amazing. Yeah, and he was on MSDNC when he said that. And tragically, he was on with an old friend of this radio station who used to be the RNC chair and a Republican lieutenant governor in Maryland, Michael Steele. And boy, he's gone completely over the wall, and he is entirely in the other guy's camp at this point. And it's a tragic thing to see. I always liked Michael Steele. Always a lot of fun, great guy, cheerful, nice. Now they're paying him a lot of money, and he's just towing the Democrat Party line because he wants another beach house or something like that. And that's kind of sad, I've got to say. Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, speaking of going over the wall, as a matter of fact, S.E. Cupp used to be a conservative, and she was a Republican conservative. Now she's on CNN. She's on CNN and doing the CNN thing. And she doesn't look a lot like she used to look either. Her look has changed a lot, and her voice has changed a lot. And I'm not talking about the tonal quality, but the things that she says. Very disappointed to see this. She, you know, boy, I gotta tell you, the things that people will do for a few bucks in the bank, it's a tragic thing. And Michael Steele is one example of that, and it makes me very sad. Always liked him. S.E. Cupp, met a handful of times. Always liked S.E. Cupp, too. But listen to S.E. Cupp, used to be a Republican. Honestly, it's like going the way of Liz Cheney. It's pretty crazy. S.E. Cupp on this. CNN polls showing lots of bad news for the Democrats.
I think these polls are tight because Donald Trump's voters have very low standards, and Joe Biden's voters have standards that are probably a little too high.
Yeah. Yeah, his standards are, voters have standards that are too high. Isn't that amazing? Just because that's what's going on, right? But S.E. Cupp has left the reservation, and yeah, the Trump voters, I guess she does not count herself among them, have standards that are too low. And Biden voters have standards that are just so high that they're, boy, they're so, that, and how that explains polls being bad news for Joe Biden and the Democrats and the polls being good news for Donald Trump and Republicans is not explained. But this is what the news media does. I got to tell you, remarkable things. All right, let's, before we get completely away from Abu the terrorist, do we have any of that audio? Of, I remember that was Abu, the ventriloquist puppet. Who was that guy? He was very funny.
With Jeff Dunham.
Very good. Jeff Dunham. Yeah, we had Abu the terrorist. And I think maybe that's who the IDF soldier, Remy, reached when he called into the Gaza. Because when sometimes when you reach people named Abu, it's the same thing over and over again, isn't it? Remember this guy, Jeff Dunham? He had a ventriloquist dummy, and it was Abu the terrorist, the ventriloquist dummy.
Ahmed.
Oh, it's Ahmed. Oh, now I ruined the whole thing. Okay. All right, let's take a phone call let's say it was Ahmed the Terrorist. I kill you. And he had a, you know, AK-47 and a suicide vest. And, you know, these guys are terrorists. They're murderers. They're jackals. And they're not on the side of civilization. And you just heard the voice of these people. These people. Can you see those? I think maybe it's better, those people. Those people. The headline in the Washington Times today. One of the great newspapers in Washington, D.C., Hamas agrees to cease fire. It's a ceasefire draft. That's what it says. Hamas agrees to ceasefire draft. Israel weighs options. Israel weighs options. In the meantime, Joe Biden is withholding the delivery of what they call JDAMs. Those are laser-guided bombs dropped from airplanes, joint direct attack munitions, if you want to share that with the kids at the dinner table. Let's right now go to a telephone call. And then we get back to more dumb Democrat hijinks. And it will be Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, coming up next. Right now, let's go to Ivan, calling from Miramar Beach, Florida. Ivan, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Hey, Chris, I saw this on the internet yesterday. I wish I could give proper attribution, but I can't remember what the source was, but they gave a news update, and they did it in four bullet points. They said, one, Hamas killed three Israeli soldiers yesterday. Two, Israel announces ground invasion of Rafah. Three, Hamas suddenly accepts ceasefire. And then four was, Israel tells Hamas, prepare to die. And that I thought was succinct and praiseworthy, Chris. Yeah, what they could have said was, Israel tells Hamas, prepare to get your 72 raisins. All right, thank you, Chris.
Great. Ivan, listen, Ivan calls like a bombing run. It's like precision-guided munitions from Ivan there. That is great. Yeah, absolutely true. The summary is quite good, Ivan. Hamas actually launched rockets, missiles into Israel. They hit a kibbutz. They wounded, I think, 10 Israelis. Then they attacked again, another attack. They murdered three Israeli soldiers. And then I heard later on that it may have been four Israeli soldiers murdered. Then Israel announces that they're going to go hit Rafah because that's where the headquarters and the leadership of Hamas is stationed right now. A couple of hours after that, the leadership of Hamas says, wait a minute, they're going to hit us where we are. They know where we are, and they're coming for us specifically, and it's where we are with our troglodyte, stinky wives and future suicide bomber children, and they're going to hit us. So they announce, says, okay, we'll accept the ceasefire. What ceasefire? We'll accept it. Well, give us the details. No, that's it. That's it. And they put out this propaganda bullet point, which the news media gobbled up around the world. And I pointed this out yesterday while we were on the air, that it was nothing but propaganda, and that they're trying to paint Israel into a corner. Well, now you can't strike them because they've just said they've accepted a ceasefire. Where are the hostages? Where have you released the hostages? Anybody? You got hostages gone? No? Well, then say hello to my little friend, because it's time for you. You know, we should whip out that was Fareed Zakaria on CNN, and Ivan just referenced it. You know, I know there are some listeners out there who are saying, what do you mean, get your 72 raisins? And we'll play that for you in a minute, because it's one of the great lessons in Islam. Provided by CNN and Fareed Zakaria. Just great stuff. I'm telling you, you're a Democrat Party. They are not on our side. And in the meantime, the Democrats are burning the American flag in New York and cheering for Hamas. The New York Times headline, again, keeping in mind, Hamas's offer to hand over 33 hostages includes some who are dead. Some that they tortured and raped to death. And the savages must be held to account. Israel is in the front row and ready to do that. Now, I'll get back to that. And Kathy Hochul coming up, too, out of New York, the Democrat governor there, being a Democrat governor and getting it all wrong once again. You know, being mom, being a mother is, of course, one of the toughest jobs in the world, requiring endless patience, certainly for my mother, love and sacrifice. After being the nurturers, the problem solvers, the cheerleaders, the chauffeurs, the superheroes for everyone else, who's going to care for mom? Well, now's the time to show mom that she deserves to be pampered with deluxe footwear that supports her every move, her every step, because with G-Defy's innovative technology, they help reduce knee pain, back pain, foot pain. Mom can enjoy all-day comfort without compromising her style. Whether mom's running errands, chasing after the little ones, or just enjoying a leisurely stroll around the neighborhood, G-Defy shoes help provide the perfect blend of support and elegance. Let mom know with every step she takes that you love her and that she's appreciated with the gift of G-Defy. Use the code Chris and save $30 off your order of $130 or more at gdefy.com. That's G-D-E-F-Y.com. Show mom that you care. Show mom that you love her with G-Defy. Yeah, sir. Yeah, wait to hear Kathy Hochul. I've got her coming. She's out there trying to sound, you know, loving and compassionate or something. And in the end, she's just a racist. That's coming up next.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Kathy Hochul is a Democrat, and she is somehow the governor of New York. Of course, they had that, you know, Cuomo guy, the whole Cuomo family has been governor except for Chris Cuomo, who's the Fredo Cuomo, as we know, of the Cuomo organized crime family. But now Kathy Hochul, who is a Democrat and the governor of the state of New York. And she was sitting down at the whose institute was it? It was the Milken Institute. And the Milken, an institute created with the ill-gotten gains of the whole Milken corrupt fortune? And never mind that. And sitting down with Jonathan Capehart, the Caped Crusader from the Washington Post, who is, by the way, African American. It matters in this exchange because maybe he should have said something, but he didn't. And he's, you know, he's an African-American man. He's Washington Post, so he's lefty, and he's a lefty. And he's LGBTQ. Nobody's sure. It might be L. It's hard to say for sure. But when Governor Kathy Hochul sat down with Jonathan Capehart from the Washington Post at the Milken Institute, what a sordid cesspool that is already, before you even hear the first syllable. And Kathy Hochul coughed up this kind of racist gem, the likes of which only Democrats could gin up. That's coming up. All right, let's get to the governor of New York, because these people, it's good to be a Democrat, because it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you're whichever Milken you want to be. Your ill-gotten gains, you stand up and institute. And then you have these events. And this one in Beverly Hills, California, on beautiful Wilshire Boulevard, at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. The Beverly Hilton Hotel. And now I think we did correct. We got calls. It's not Abu the terrorist. It's Ahmed the terrorist. And I apologize for confusing, conflating Abu and Ahmed. You can see how it might happen, though. They blow up so soon. So at the Milken Institute, they invited Jonathan Capehart to be the fake moderator. He's a very left-wing fake journalist paid by Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post. And he was invited out to moderate. And then there is Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul, the Democrat governor of the Commonwealth of New York. She took over after the previous Andrew Cuomo Democrat governor was forced out because he was such a disaster and a liar about the Wuhan Red Death and shuttling older people off to certain death in the hell pits that he created there, to deflect blame from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I didn't even get to that story yesterday about the story that broke over the weekend showing that the U.S. government was fully aware immediately that the point of origin of the Wuhan Red Death was, in fact, the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, where the Wuhan Chinese communists were playing with biological warfare. But speaking of biological warfare, let's get back to Governor Hochul in New York, because she was invited to this Milken Institute thing, Beverly Hills, California, at the Beverly Hilton. I think Merv Griffin used to own the Beverly Hilton. It's a very Hollywood kind of thing going on there. But so she, you know, flew across. She probably flew private too in a Gulfstream jet or something, so make sure that her carbon footprint is gigantic. But here is the racist Democrat governor, Kathy Hochul, the Democrat from the state of New York, saying that black kids, black people who live in just one borough of New York City, the Bronx, there are some words that they just never heard before because, you know, racism or something.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions diverse through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
Yeah, because diverse. You know, I've been saying for as long as I've been on the radio, in America, the United States of America, which is where I am, diversity is like gravity. It's everywhere. It's a part of the atmosphere. It's unavoidable. It's not something that anyone has control over. And this, they love the word diversity. They love the word community. And I don't think they know what either one of those words means. But what they don't even, these young black kids don't even know, and it was poorly phrased as well, what the word computer is.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
They don't know these things. Aren't you the governor and kind of the person in charge over the top of the entire educational system in the state of New York? And are you bragging about this or what? But I heard her say that, and I said, you know, that doesn't sound right, because I follow the news for a living, and I recall there being some news stories about this. So I went and I took a look, because that's the kind of stuff that I do, and I found a story from CBS News, CBS Fake News, March 1st of 2021, and the headline is, Bronx students receive free laptops for school. I'm sorry, what? Are those computers, these laptops, or are they just like Flintstones laptops where they're, you know, slate and you write on them with chalk? Almost one full year into the coronavirus pandemic, some students in New York City are still without access. Without access. They don't even explain access to what. Since the start of February, a foundation in the Bronx, that is to say, private money, wealthy people being charitable, they got to pay their fair share, right? A foundation in the Bronx has been trying to make sure every student in the borough has one. Has one what? Has one, let's say, has one, a computer. That's what CBS's Natalie Duddridge reported on Monday. And then they go into Joel, a sixth grader, was so excited to finally have a computer and very excited to have a computer. And then I decided, well, that was 2021. I should go for an update and see what I can find. And I found in 2023, New York City bought 725,000 devices for remote learning. Now, listen to this. Now they're trying to count them, because they don't know where they are. They bought 725,000 laptops and iPads for students, and they're like, what happened to those? Because, you know, they're being sold on street corners within minutes, but never mind that. When the COVID pandemic started about 3 years ago, New York City scrambled to get hundreds of thousands of students connected to the internet, buying iPads and Chromebook laptops. I don't have a Chromebook laptop, but that's okay. And then, so wait a minute, Kathy Hochul, you, and she's sitting there with Jonathan Capehart, who is theoretically African-American, and he didn't say, I'm sorry, the young black kids in the Bronx, it's a fairly narrow category. What about the rest of the boroughs in New York City? What about maybe just say Latinx? You know, what about Latinx students? Do they know what the word computer means? But why only the black kids don't know what the word computer means? The white kids know what the computer means, what the word computer means, and they're in the Bronx, but the black kids, the young black kids in the Bronx, they don't even know what the word computer means. She said what the word computer is, not what the word computer means. She's not a very bright person. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute, didn't they have a bunch of laptops disappear or something? And so I looked that up, and it turned out I was wrong about that. That was Chicago. January 11th of 2024, Chicago public schools lost $23 million worth of laptops, iPads, because they bought laptops and iPads, just like New York City, for all the students and for the teachers, too, because what the hell, it's not their money. And then, just a couple of months ago now, an annual report from the Inspector General of Chicago Public Schools revealed that millions of dollars worth of tech devices were reported lost or stolen without appropriate search and recovery efforts. And the story goes on, $23 million, the original purchase price, right? They reported 77,505 tech devices as lost or stolen. Just in 2023, 77,505 laptops and iPads were lost and stolen because they bought them for free. And there were instances, and then they gave them away, but when you don't earn them or work for them, then they're not of any particular value to you. At three dozen schools, 100% of the tech devices assigned specifically to students were marked lost or stolen. I'm sorry, at three dozen schools, I'll count that as 36 schools, 100% of the laptops and iPads were reported lost or stolen. Okay? There you go. 77,505 laptops and or iPads lost or stolen. Just amazing stuff. Your Democrat Party, Chicago, New York. But at least their leadership is diverse. It's diverse. Like the rainbow, which just means gay. During the same school year in Chicago, Chicago Public Schools shelled out upward of $124 million on technology assets, which the report says that was the most of the last five school years, but they just don't know where anything is. So that's your Democrat Party doing the job that the Democrat Party does.
Latinx.
Exactly right. Definitely Latinx. And then, you know what they say? In a district where more than 72% of the students are from economically disadvantaged families. Sure, sure, that's it. That's why they got the free laptops and iPads, and then they stole them. And that's a clue. That's a clue. It is crucial that we are sensitive to our families as we conduct any device recovery efforts. Well, I don't think the FBI is going to be breaking down their doors early in the morning. And I know there was a case, I think one teacher lost 14 different laptops. I remember this story. One teacher in Chicago. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what happened to that one. I left it in the counter at Dunkin' Donuts, and then I got another one. And then the next day, I left it at the counter at Chuck E. Cheese. And you're a Democrat Party. Aren't they extraordinary?
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it. Well, we think about it. You just talk about it. That's pretty amazing. Now, Kathy Hochul has come out. Kathy Hochul has come out with to clarify. The extremist left-wing Daily Beast has a radical lie sheet on this. Listen to this, because because Kathy Hochul was said, well, wait a minute. Only young black kids, only in the Bronx, they don't know what the word computer means, you racist, racist, you. What are you, a member of the Democrat Party or the KKK? What's the difference? Here's the headline from the Daily Beast. Hochul claims she misspoke when saying black kids don't know the word computer. I regret it, she said. You should be canceled. You should be driven by your own people because you're crazy. You crazy people. New York Governor Kathy Hochul issued an apology Monday over a comment she made about black children in the Bronx being unfamiliar with the word computer, even though, you know, we bought them free computers. Speaking at the Milken Institute Global Conference, they leave out that it was Beverly Hills or the Beverly Hilton Hotel, but never mind that, about her wish to make technology more widely available. Stop stealing everything. Hochul said, right now we have young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. Her comment quickly drew condemnation from Bronx elected officials. New York Assembly member Karinez Rees said she was deeply disturbed by Hochul's remarks and shared the statement from her colleague Amanda Septimo, describing the governor's words as harmful, deeply misinformed, and genuinely appalling. Earlier today, while discussing my commitment to expanding economic opportunity for communities of color, see, it's community and it's color, I misspoke and I regret it. Sure, that's what she did. Now, at the same time, there is this great young man in Georgia who is a pro-American person. He is a conservative, obviously. I guess that's redundant and repetitive to say that you're pro-American and you're conservative, because obviously, if you're, enough said, right? Now, let me go to this this young man who is... Yeah, C.J. Pearson, who we've played on the show before, and C.J. Pearson is just great. He's he too is African American, but he's not an idiot like Jonathan Capehart, for example. And C.J. Pearson he's got a political future. I think he's only 22 years old, African American from Georgia, born in Augusta and raised in Grovetown, Georgia, and realized when he was 8 years old that he's conservative. And he saw the video of Kathy Hochul at the Millionaire Billionaire Summit in Beverly Hills, California, saying those per black kids, they don't even know the word computer.
I am tired of these racist-ass Democrats and the pass that the media gives them every single day to say this filth. Imagine if any Republican said what she just said. Imagine if Donald J. Trump said what she just said. Every single day, Democrats get a pass to belittle black people, to demean black people, to spit in our face, to play in our face, and everyone just gives them a pass to do so. The only time they have to pretend to care about black people is during an election year, and even then, as it appears by Governor Hochul's comments, the mask still has a tendency to slip.
That is a fact, Jack. And you may remember, you know, why Joe Biden was chosen to be Barack Obama's running mate.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy. Yeah. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
Yeah. That's a storybook, man. He's the first mainstream black guy who's articulate. First mainstream black guy who's bright. And the first mainstream black guy who's clean. Who's clean. I guess he thinks everybody's corn pop. I don't know. Hey, here's a sobering headline for you. New estimates report that more than 1 million babies were killed by abortion in 2023. That's the highest number of abortions since 2012. But I thought that overturning Roe was supposed to stop all that. We have to fight back against this evil. When they shout abortion, we shout life. How do we do that? We do that by joining hands with Preborn. Preborn is one of the largest organizations in the country that sponsors ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. And when a mother is considering abortion and she sees her baby on an ultrasound, hears the heartbeat, sees all this, it could double the baby's chances at living a long and prosperous life. Every day, preborn helps rescue 200 unborn babies' lives, which is truly miraculous. Amazing work they're doing. But by the time I finish this ad, two more unborn babies will have been taken out by this tragic reality. $28, however, could be the difference between life and death. So please join the fight by sponsoring one or two or three, or if you can, 200 ultrasounds. And all of your gifts are tax deductible, of course. To donate, dial, this is different. Now listen to this, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. You dial #250, it'll prompt you, and you say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby, or visit preborn.com/plant. That's preborn.com/plant. That's me, P-L-A-N-T-E. Yeah, I tell you, 3 hours a day is not nearly enough, as I'm fond of saying, to reveal all the falsehoods and the lunacy that the Democrat Party puts out there. But I'm going to keep trying. We haven't even gotten to the New York mayhem yesterday. They had a big gala, $75,000 a ticket, and the genocidal mob of proto-Nazis showed up. I've got an update for you on that. And campuses as well.
But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Ah, yes. Now I see that there is a, Jeff would like me to take this phone call, and I don't think I have time to do her justice because she has so much great stuff to say. Now, let's grab Cheryl calling from Dumfries, Virginia. Cheryl, I've run out the clock on you, and I hope you can stay over because Jeff tells me you have a lot of great things to say. Give me your headline there, if you could.
Okay, Chris. First of all, I am a substitute teacher, and one of the things that I try and do is try to educate the young people on the importance, because I exclusively teach for high school, and try to impress upon them the importance of being an American citizen and how important it is to keep our civilization going.
Well, Cheryl, I'm running out the clock. If you can hang on, I would love to talk to you on the other side of this. And if you can't, I understand.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.